Friend. Welcome him here tonight, Brother Steve Dagenhart.
Appreciate you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And put your finger there and turn over to 1 Kings chapter 20. I just want to say time has made a change in me. It is a blessing to be back here in Noonan, Georgia. I am grateful to be blessed to preach His Word. It is a high honor and a great responsibility. I have enjoyed the singing. I like to see people enjoy what they do. Someone asked me years ago at Galilean Baptist Church in Norcross, Georgia. I had preached one night, and this gentleman said, "Did you enjoy what you preach?" I said, "Yes." Didn't I act like it? If I don't enjoy what I do, how in the world are you going to enjoy it? And I'm here to tell you, them little children pick up on how much you enjoy doing what you do on Sunday morning, teaching that Sunday school class. But I appreciate Brother Melvin and Miss Mildred, and it is good to be back here again in these services. If you're willing and able, I would ask that you stand as we read from this portion of God's Word. I want to deliver what God has put in my heart for a few moments of time. In verse number 22 of 1 Kings 20, "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself, and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hill. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." Verse 28 says, "And there came a man of God, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Then in 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. You can be seated tonight. I want to read verse number 3 again. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach on the importance of the valley. The importance of the valley. When we think of the valley, we denote it as a place of humiliation and grief and sorrow. The reason that the valley is seen in this light is because of its lowness and the fact that it is obscure and shaded by the craggy hills and the growing trees. For the most part, we don't like to live in the valley. In the Bible, you'll find that the Scripture says that valleys speak of danger. The psalmist David wrote, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David was well aware of the dangers of the valley. For in the valley, the sheep had to go single file. They could not be bunched together. And through the valley, there were cliffs, and there were places where the sheep could become entangled in the thorns and the thistles. And tonight, some of us may be in that valley of danger. We may be living near the edge. We may have become entangled by the briars and the thistles of this world. There is also a valley of despair. The psalmist said in Psalm 84, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." The word Baca means sorrow, heartache, and grief. And tonight, some of you may be living in that valley. You may be experiencing the loneliness of life. You may be carrying the heavy burden of grief and sorrow because death has invaded your family. And tonight some of you may have even lost hope that there will ever be a brighter day. But may I remind you tonight, as I have read, He is not only God on the hillside, but He is also God down in our valley. There is also the valley of distress. Hosea writes and says, I will give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Achor, we all should know, is the valley where Joshua led a man and his family, a man who had taken of the unthinkable thing from Jericho. And God was bringing judgment upon his life. It spoke of trouble and distress and restlessness. I've never seen God's people living in such a turbulent time. And I am seeing people who are restless, who are not at peace, who have no calmness of spirit. You may be in that valley tonight, but let me remind you, He is not only God on the mountain, He is God down in the low ground of our life. I want us to look at this familiar story tonight about Israel and the Philistines, and David fighting the giant Goliath. I want to emphasize three things about the valley. I really want to get to the last one, but I'll mention the other two. You'll find that the valley provided a battlefield for David to fight Goliath. David went down into the valley, and there he fought the giant. And may I remind us, our testings do not come on the hilltop experiences of our life. Our testings come when we're down in the low ground, when we're walking in the valleys of our life. That is where victories are won or lost. It provides a battlefield. But I want to mention the second one tonight. The valley also provided a brook. Verse number 40 says, and he took his staff in hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I just want to remind us tonight that when we're walking in the valley, you need to go to looking for the brook. There is a water supply down in the valley. Oh, I realize that out of the mountains, God pushes that water through the rocks and through the principle of gravity. That water flows down through the rills and the hills, and it finally reaches the low ground of this earth. I'm just here to tell you, when you get down in the valley, go to looking for the brook. It's there tonight. David found a brook down in his valley. Thank God there's some water down in the low ground of our lives. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad he does not leave us abandoned nor forsaken. He is not only the God on the hill, but he's also God down in our valley. There's a brook down. Did you know a lot of important things took place at a brook in the Bible? I always like to go where something is mentioned for the first time. And the first time the word brook is ever mentioned in Scripture is in Genesis chapter number 32. Jacob fords the brook Jabbok. He crosses that brook called Jabbok, and there wrestled with him an angel of the Lord. I want you to understand that Jacob did not initiate this wrestling match, but the Lord, the angel of the Lord, was the one who made the first move toward Jacob. And there before the sun rose, God blessed him and changed his name. And the emphasis of what took place was that God is a God who will move toward us, a God who initiates himself toward us in our dire need. I'm glad I have a Savior tonight. I could not get to him, but he initiated the move toward me. I'm here to tell you, there's a brook down in your valley. Hallelujah. Thank God for the brook. Some of you have missed the blessing of the brook down in the low ground of your life. But there are also stones in the brooks. Now, for most Baptist folk, it's not them stones you throw at one another. There's enough of that done. But it's the stone that you use against your enemy. The Bible says that he chose five smooth stones. 5 in Scripture is always the number of grace, God's unmerited favor. David chose 5. Someone said that Goliath had 4 brothers. I can agree with that assessment, but I believe it goes further than that. David only used 1 stone, and he had 4 left over in reserve. The Bible says about grace, where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. I'm glad there is more than enough grace to meet our needs. But the nature of those stones, the Bible said they were smooth. You ever tried shoot a jagged rock in a slingshot? Some of us can't even shoot a smooth stone with a slingshot. And I'm one of them. I hit my thumb 1 good time one morning. But those stones were smooth. That doesn't strain my faith at all to believe before sunrise that morning that God commissioned an angel to come all the way from heaven down to earth to that brook and lay 5 smooth stones for David to put in his bag. Wouldn't strain my faith at all. That's the way God wants to do it. He can very well do it any way he wants to. He's God. I just don't believe he done it that way. No. You see, those small, smooth stones had not always been like that. They had started way up in the mountains. They had been part of a craggy hill, and because of rain and wind and erosion, a boulder broke off from the side of a mountain, busting and rolling down the gorge, finding itself in the water, and the water rushing that rock down to the low grounds. It broke it in pieces, and those little pieces began to be smooth. Their rough edges were taken across the rocks, and the rushing water had smoothed them out and brought them to the very place God's man needed them that morning. I submit to you, before David ever needed any stones, God had already provided the stones for him. And I am thankful tonight, before I ever knew I was a sinner, God had already provided a means that I could be saved. Before man ever sinned in the garden, God saw a lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Hallelujah! What a great God he is. There's a brook down in that valley. But the third thing, by the way, I'm not a long-winded preacher. Not against it. I just don't do it. Brother Hinkle Little used to say, every good message ought to be short, and every bad message ought to be shorter. Say amen right there. But I want you to listen tonight. Number three, the valley provided a blessing for Israel. A blessing is something that is beneficial, something that results in good things, something that is advantageous. You say, preacher, how can being in the valley become something good? How can it be a blessing in our lives? Well, look with me right here, and I'll soon be done. And whoever, do y'all do the invitation, Brother Mike? Who does it? Whoever does it, if anybody can sing something about the valley, I'd appreciate it. The valley is a blessing of parting. Verse 3 says, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. The valley determined whose side you're on. It parted the company of the Philistines and the company of the Israelites. I'm glad tonight I know whose side I'm on. And tonight it isn't that the Lord is on my side. The important matter is he lets me be on his side. Joshua, looking over Jericho, saw a man with a sword drawn in his hand, and the man said, Joshua said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And the man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And he fell on his face and he worshiped him. Joshua was asking him, whose side you on? And he said, it don't make any difference whose side I'm on. You better find out whose side you're on. The valley parted. It showed who was on the ranks of the Israelites and who were in the ranks of the Philistines. The blessing of parting, but there's another blessing. The blessing of protection. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt's bondage? And they came through the wilderness and they came to the edge of the Red Sea. And behind them, Moses saw the dust boiling up. And he knew that Pharaoh and his chariots were coming their way. There was nowhere for Israel to turn. The Red Sea stood before them. The plains of the desert were on either side. There was no place of protection. And had it not been for God in the fire, standing in the reward between Pharaoh and his army and the Israelites, Pharaoh would have swept them off the face of the earth.
and the Philistines, if they had encountered the Israelites in the open plain, they would have made mincemeat out of them a long time ago. But thank God, there was a valley between them that protected them and secured them and helped them and aided them. Sometimes he gets us in the valley to protect us because he knows if we're living on the mountain, we tend to get proud and careless. But he knows if we're down in the valley, we'll go to calling on him. We'll go to crying out to him. We'll go to weeping before him. We'll look into his word. We'll be faithful to his house. When we get in the low ground of our life, whereas if we would be on the mountain, we would fall to temptation. But because we're in the valley, we're sensitive to him, and we're living close to him, and we learn to say no when we're down in the valley. He protects us. The blessing of protection. There is also the blessing of providence. For 40 days, every morning, Goliath has raised his arrogant and ugly voice and challenged Israel for a man to stand against him. Every evening he has stood and wickedly and cruelly he has trumpeted his challenge, and the men of Israel tremble and run into their cave. There should have been some men that rose to the occasion. Jonathan, for one, he had already fought a garrison of Philistines earlier, and God had miraculously given him and his servant victory over those Philistines. Jonathan should have been the one. Then there was Abner. He's the captain of the host of Saul's army. He's the general in command. He should have been the one to confront Goliath and fight against him, but he did not take the challenge. Saul himself stood taller than any man, a head taller than any man in Israel. He should have went out. But for 40 days, Israel trembled and shook in fear. Wonder what God was doing for them 40 days. You ever thought of that? You think God was sitting up there on his throne, wringing his hands, saying, oh, he's got a loud voice. Boy, that scares me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, Lord. I mean, I'm God. Something's got to be. I'm the one going to have to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do. You think God reacted like that? Oh, no. You know what God is doing? He is waiting for the right time to touch a father's heart by the name of Jesse. And he laid it on the father's heart to go have his youngest son, David,
to take some bread and cheeses to see how his boys were getting along. And early that morning, David left out, carrying out his father's commission. And when he arrives, he hears the challenge of Goliath. And he is indignant. He is stirred to anger. He said, "Who in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" My point is simply this. When Israel was a trembling and a fearing and hiding in their caves, in the background, on the unseen pages, God was busy. God was preparing a young man, a young shepherd boy. God had a man. God had a servant. God had a vessel he was going to use against Goliath. And I'm just here tonight to tell you, some of you think God's forgot about you. You're trembling under your circumstances, and you're fearful in your heart. I'm just here to say he's a God of providence. He's a working behind the scenes, and he might just be ready to bring about deliverance in your life. For you see, he's not just God on the hillside. He's also God down in our valley. Would you stand tonight while they come, whoever? I don't know where you're at, but I know this is what God put in my heart to do. I don't know where you're walking at tonight. I don't know what you're facing. You may be walking in the low ground and you feel like God has abandoned you, that things are never going to work out. And again, he's not just God on the hills, but he's God down in the valleys. And tonight, I'd listen to his voice. I'd come and get help from my life. He may be just looking out for you. He might be keeping you from temptation that would cause you to fall or to get away from God, and he's got you down in the valley to protect you and to look after you. Oh, but be encouraged that God will never forget you and God will never forsake you. He's speaking to your heart while they sing. He's touching you. He's God down in your valley.
Times get tough and trials hard to bear, but I know there's a God,
surely,
who hears and
He's speaking to you. He knows where you're walking at tonight. Some of you think he's forgot about you, but he's a working behind the scene.
Exactly,
you just rest assured he's a providential working God.
He's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you. So through the valley, deep or wide, or on the mountain, be so when you're happy, when you're sad, he's still the best friend you've ever had.
speaking to you.
And he won't start with you.
Just ask Abraham, walking up that lonely hill, or ask the widow about the time your empty barrel was filled, or ask Peter, yeah. Say he's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you.
That's right.
So through the valley, deep or wide, oh, the mountain peak so high, when you're happy, when
Brother Melvin, I'm done. Brother Mike mentioned going to the Holy Land. I've been privileged to go there 3 occasions myself. You went to Petra, I'm sure, one time. Rode the camel or the donkey down through the winding path. You had to go single file in some places. You couldn't walk as a group. You had to follow along, and the ones ahead of you, they would round the bend, and you couldn't see them. They got ahead of you because of the winding trail through those mountains. That's the way it is when you get in the valley. The shepherd's leading the sheep, but the sheep can't stay together. Have to follow single file. You wonder how the sheep know that the shepherd is still close. They can't see the shepherd. He's way ahead of them. Every once in a while, that shepherd would click his staff on the side of the rocks, so those sheep could hear their shepherd was near. There have been some times I've been in some low ground. Sometimes I've heard the clicking of the staff. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there. Be encouraged tonight. He's the God, not just on the mountain. He's the God down in your valley.
He's God in the valley. He's God who can meet your every need tonight. I feel God is still tugging at hearts right now. Why don't you just say, I'm not going to be discouraged any longer. I'm not going to be defeated any longer and find that peace in the valley tonight. We're living in troubled times. Jobs playing out. Homes foreclosing. Stress on every hand. Christian, it's a time when we come to the realization that we can't trust in the government any longer. It's time we came to the realization that the only hope and help we've got left here in this world today is Jesus Christ. This world is in a chaotic condition. No one seems to know the answer to anything. And some of those that think they know the answer don't want to bring real help to the hurting heart, the struggling soul. But I'll assure you tonight, there's peace in the valley. Going to have them sing another verse. People are still praying at the altar, and we will not stop this service as long as there's a need here in this building this evening. Moms, dads, how's your home tonight? Where are your children at? What about your grandchildren, your grandparents, your neighbors? Time's running out. Oh, we've got big plans. We've got savings accounts for their education and the furtherance of their lives so that they can live comfortable more so than we did. That bank account's not going to be a bit of good when the government takes it all. You'd better trust God tonight. One more song.
I know
we're in a valley experience tonight. We're in a mess tonight.
Try your heart to bear.
You're to obey God and just claim victory in Jesus.
I know there's a God who hears and answers prayers. He will listen when what to do. He's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you. So through the valleys deep, deep
hurting hearts here tonight.
Happy,
struggling souls here tonight.
He's still the best friend.
You'd better believe he is your best friend. Your best friend tonight.
So if you feel you can't go. Just ask Abraham, walking up that lonely hill, or ask the widow about the time her empty barrel was filled. Ask Peter, they all say he's never failed one yet, and he won't start.
Yes. yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen.
So through the valley, deep or wide, roll the mountain peak so high. When you're happy, when you're sad, he's still the best friend you've ever had.
Yes, he is. Grandmother, precious grandmother.
He won't start with you. My God's never failed one yet. And he won't start with you.
Have you enjoyed the singing tonight? Hasn't it been a blessing? Well, y'all are mighty quiet. I said, have you enjoyed the singing tonight? Did you enjoy the message also? My, my, my. Appreciate Brother Steve. Now, he was in revival down there close to where that tornado tore up that place in Alabama. Preaching the meeting, closed out last night. They drove him over here to be with us tonight. He's fixed to hit the road and go to the Atlanta airport and get on an airplane and fly to Charlotte, North Carolina, be in Taylorsville, North Carolina tomorrow. And then he's got a whole weekend ahead of him. You pray for Brother Steve. Did you enjoy the message? Well, I'm telling you what, it's an encouragement. Folk, a lot of you did not get in this altar and talk to God. I trust you talked to God where you was at. But there's a lot of people here tonight that are in the valley. And I want to tell you, you don't have